Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship Baptist Church. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity that we have, the beautiful day that we have to celebrate and to worship our Lord and Savior this morning. And I hope that you have come just to do like the song was saying before service started this morning. Oh, come and let us adore Him. He is absolutely worthy of our adoration, our worship, our honor and our praise as we're here this morning. I hope we've come with that in our intentions, or you might be here and you might need help this morning. You might be in a place in your life. Look, I've been watching a little bit of Facebook this week and seeing some prayer requests come through our page and different things. And man, there's a lot of needs around us right now. A lot of families that need some special prayer requests. A lot of families being affected by sickness and different things. And God knows all of those needs and He's able to touch those needs. But most of all, if you have a spiritual need, I can promise you that God is willing and able to meet that spiritual need in your life. And don't be ashamed of it. Don't let it run your life. Don't let it take over you, because we have all been in a place in our time, in a time and place in our life when we have been in spiritual trouble. We have failed, we've come short, or maybe we're just burdened and troubled and trialed and we need spiritual help. God is more than able to take care of those needs this morning also. Thank you for being here with us in the sanctuary. If you're watching on Facebook, thank you for being with us there on Facebook. We trust that the service will be a blessing to you. And I know that God's word will reach out and speak to us, because He told us that His word will never return void. But if you're watching on Facebook this morning, you have a special prayer request that you would like to leave there, please do. And as always, if you want to share it so that others may see it, maybe somebody that's lost will hear the gospel and be able to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I encourage you to do that also.
Still a mystery to me, that the hands of God could be so small. How tiny fingers reach in the night were the very hands that measured the sky. Dawn of time, how His ears have heard an angel say. The souls of men.
Thank the Lord for all the wonderful singing this morning. I'd never heard that song before. That was beautiful. I really enjoyed that song this morning. If you want to know what Sarah was coming to tell me over here, that was sort of a surprise. She said that Alan Sawyers was going to sing a special for us. Now I'm playing. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Just thankful again for the opportunity that we have. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 24, we'll be taking a little bit of reading right there. We're going to do a whole lot of flipping back and forth, and actually, I tried a little something different this week. Let me go ahead and put a plug in right here, or maybe just a word of gratitude. Our digital media team is awesome. I'm really thankful for the guys and ladies sitting right there in the digital media room. I'm making all this up as I go, the digital media stuff. I kind of like that. So if y'all see shirts here in the near future that says DMT, you know it's going to be the digital media team. That's them up there. But last Sunday, I made them a little jealous. I said something about the piano player, which she laid out on us this morning. And I said how important the piano player was. You don't want to make a piano player mad. And I think I almost got muted right in the middle of that. Honestly, I throw a lot of curveballs at Randall and Shannon and Lance and some of the others that help out up there. And I did this morning. I've sent Shannon a PowerPoint at the last minute and said, here, I want you to use my scripture like this today. So pray that all goes well and that it don't fail. And because I'm not a very technological kind of guy, and I tried something new this morning. So y'all just pray that all goes well with that. And we'll do our best to preach what God's laid on my heart. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I know that I fail you so many times, God, that I allow sin to come into my life, and that sometimes, God, that the devil lays out traps and I fall. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me for all of my sins and my shortcomings. God, help me to truly surrender my life unto you and live a life that brings you glory and that might could point someone else to Jesus Christ, God. And I pray, dear Father, as we come this morning, I pray that you'll bless the message, God. I know that I'm a failure, God. I know that that my flesh is weak, God. I know that I stutter and stammer, and God, that it's only by your Holy Spirit that anybody will get anything from this message today. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, that you'll take your word and that you'll speak to us. And God, may we have receptive hearts to hear your word. We thank you most of all that you loved us enough to allow Jesus Christ to come and give his life for us. And in his name we pray, amen. I want to start this morning by telling you, as if you already didn't know, that you have a choice. You have a choice. And you say, well, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it seems like this year has been a year that has been full of choices and full of decisions. There's been all kinds of things that we've had to make decisions about that we've never made decisions about before. There's been choices that we've had to make, and in the middle of those choices, we don't know what information we're supposed to be using to even make those choices. I can remember back in March, as the deacons and I were talking about how to proceed with services and whether we should have in church services or whether we should go all virtual for a little while or just do our Facebook. We're talking. I said, guys, I don't know what to do. I've never been here before. I've never made a decision on something quite like this before. And of course, they all agreed. We none of us have, and we were doing our best to do our best to follow God and to also to take in consideration for our church and for the different things that were before us. But this year has been a year that's been full of choices. They've been choices like, should we have church? Should we go to school? Should we play sports? Will I wear a mask? Am I going to get a vaccine? Who should I vote for? Let me just tell you, there was no choice right there. But anyway, I'll move on. Who should I vote for? Are we having Thanksgiving? Are we having Christmas? Are we going to have a Christmas play? And there's still a lot of choices that's going to have to be made. It seems like just the other day at work that me and some of the guys that were talking there, that, you know, we were talking about all of the choices that we have to make. And then it seems like there's been some choices that have been taken from us, and there's been some choices that have been trying to be pushed on us. But this morning, I want us to talk about some choices that we have to make. And one thing that we absolutely have to look at this morning is to establish the fact that in your spiritual life that you have a choice. That we are not born for one direction or the other, that it is not chosen by our parents, that it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized or how many times you've been prayed over or anything else. The thing of it is your spiritual relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is all about your choice this morning. And that is absolutely not something that no one can take away from you or that someone can make for you this morning. So first of all, let's look at some scripture this morning and let's establish the fact that we do have a choice. This choice supersedes any other choices that you can make. Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15, very familiar scripture as we look this morning at some scripture that you've all heard many, many times and has been used in many, many messages. But as we look at this morning in Joshua chapter number 24 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." How many houses do you go in and you see a plaque on the wall that says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord"? How many places do you go and you see that scripture, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? And I want you to know that is an absolutely wonderful choice to be made. But I want you to know, as the head of my house, I can make that choice for me and myself, but I cannot force my wife and my children to serve the Lord. It is an absolute individual choice this morning, and you have the individual choice whether or not you will love the Lord, whether or not you will surrender your life unto God, whether or not you will serve the Lord. It is an absolute individual choice this morning. Let's continue to another verse of scripture. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess. Do you see there that you have the choice whether or not that you will confess? Let's continue reading. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, it would be easy for God to say, "Look, I'm going to choose you, and I'm going to choose you, and I'm going to do this." But I want you to know something, that I would be at the bottom of the list of those choices. I'm glad, you know, I can remember being in school. And when we go out to the playground to play kickball. Now, up in Cana, I was a big deal. I just want you to know, I was a big deal up in Cana. I got to be the team captain. It wasn't that funny. I got to be the team captain a lot up in Cana. But then when I moved down to Surrey County, and all of a sudden nobody knew who I was, I was the little short, fat kid that was left standing there going, "Okay, you can play with us." I was the last one chosen, and a lot of, and you know, if God chose things the way that we do, I would be the last one chosen, or I wouldn't be chosen. But he made it my choice. He said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." You know, there's a lot of people who have misrepresented the gospel. And they think just because they go to church that everything's going to be okay between them and God. They think that because they have done good for their neighbor, that everything is going to be okay between them and God. Because they were baptized at the age of 7, that everything is good between them and God. But I want you to know that you have an individual choice whether or not that you will look and say, "I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I'm choosing him as my Savior," and accept him into your heart and into your life. And that's how you become a child of God this morning. But also, there's a choice right after that. There's a choice that, okay, now am I going to live my life for God? Am I going to love God with everything in me? Let's continue. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm trying to show you this morning and establish the fact that you have a choice. Now, there are some things in our lives that they tell us that we have a choice about, but we really don't have a choice. But I want you to know, when your spiritual condition and your relationship with Jesus Christ, you absolutely are the only one that can make that choice. My dad has been a pastor for as long as I've been born. I can remember the 3 different churches that he's pastored as we grew up. I can remember from about the time that I was born to age 5, my dad pastored Rome Baptist Church up in Laurel Fort, Virginia. After that, he pastored Rock Hill Baptist Church right over the hill here. Now he's at Fancy Gap Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And my dad has been faithful unto God. My dad has preached every Sunday. He raised me the right way. He taught me the ways of God. But when it comes down to it, I am the only one. It won't be because my dad is a pastor. It won't be because my dad is a preacher. It won't be because of any of those reasons. If I stand before God and I am not ready to stand before God, it's going to be because I made a choice not to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Let's finish up with this one to establish the fact that we have a choice. Matthew chapter number 6, Verse number 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So now that we've established the fact that you have a choice on whether or not to become a child of God, then we also have a choice of whether we're going to love God and whether we're going to serve God and whether we're going to surrender unto God. I know a lot of people that I meet day in and day out that their lives are not bearing a lot of fruit. And I'll just be honest with you, there's times that my life doesn't bear a lot of fruit. And there's times that you look at my life and you say, okay, what choice have you made? Yes, I chose Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 7. I've given you my testimony many times in my life. But there have been times in my life when I have chosen to worship God, to serve God. And there have been times when that choice wasn't the one that I was following. But the Bible strictly tells me right here, no man can serve two masters. Which one are you serving? Who are you loving this morning? Now, I want us to look. I want to give you some reasons. Let's go back for just a minute. Let's go back to Joshua chapter number 24. Let's look at verses 16 through verse number 18. Let's look as Joshua tells the people, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to look at their answer. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. As Joshua puts this choice in front of the people, and he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Then the people began to look, and they began to say, you know, he's right. We can't serve both. We got to make a choice today. And they said, there's no way that we're going to serve the other gods, because it is our God who brought us up out of the land of Egypt. It is our God who drove out the enemies, who drove out the enemies in front of us. It's our God who delivered us, who made us pass through safely. It is our God who did that. And that's the reason that I'm going to love God. That's the reason that I'm going to choose God. That's the reason that I'm going to serve God. Now this morning, I wanted to take this and I want us to look at our lives, and I want to give you some possible reasons that I would serve God, the possible reasons that I would love God this morning. And there's many different reasons I could preach for a long, long time on this topic this morning, but I'm going to choose just a few to share with you this morning. Here's some reasons that I choose, or that I could give you, that I love God. First of all, Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 37, I want you to know that I choose to love the Lord because I am instructed to. This is a possible reason that I could give you this morning that I choose to love the Lord. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, if that verse of scripture depicts you this morning, if that describes you, praise the Lord for you. I find myself in moments that I believe that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And then I find myself maybe backing up from that, but that's not the message. The message is this. One reason that I could give you, look, as the children of Israel began to answer Joshua, they began to list a list of reasons of why they're going to choose the Lord. And this morning I want to give you some possible reasons, a list of possible reasons that you may give that you choose to love the Lord. And one of them might be just because I'm instructed to. The Bible tells me that I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. So that's what I'm going to do. That could be one possible reason. Let's move to the next one. Another possible reason could be because I don't want to go to hell. That's a wonderful reason right there. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This morning, if you do not choose Jesus Christ, I'm going to be real blunt. I'm going to be real honest with you right now. This is not the pretty message that maybe that we were hoping for coming this close to Christmas, but I want you to know something. It's a beautiful message when you look at what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that I don't have to go to hell this morning. I'm so thankful. I was born, and when I become to the age of accountability, when I knew that sin existed in my life, when I knew that I wasn't perfect, and it's different ages for different people. Some people, we've had extended conversations about that in my vehicle, it seems like, over the past few weeks. Well, how do I know, how do people know whether they've reached that age of accountability or not? It will be very plain to you. I remember the first time that God spoke to my heart, and God let me know that hey, you're not perfect, that you have broken some of my commandments, that sin has entered into your life. And now, because of the preaching of the Word of God that I got, I knew because sin was in my life, that I could not go to heaven. And the opposite of not going to heaven, we don't even like to say it no more, I was bound for hell. That if I had not accepted Jesus Christ. And one reason that I choose to love God this morning is because I don't have to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'll tell you this morning, as you read about hell in the Bible, and it talks about a place of outer darkness. It talks about a place where people are gnashing upon one another with their teeth. That hell is an awful, awful place. And it's for all eternity. The Bible tells us that the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. That it's not something that's just over like that and, well, it's all said and done. If you die without Jesus Christ, you don't go to a little place somewhere where you're going to be playing cards with your buddies. You don't go somewhere where it's just another life and you get to maybe get another chance and maybe be good enough to go to heaven. But the Bible teaches us that if I die without Jesus Christ in my life, that if I die with sin in my life without confessing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible tells me, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, how do you get written in the book of life? By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A possible reason that I could give you could be because the Bible instructs me to love God. A possible reason that I could give you this morning is because I don't want to go to hell. A possible reason could be found in Psalm chapter number 116, verse number 1. I'm trying to move quickly this morning. A possible reason that I love God, because He hears my prayers. Psalm chapter number 116, verse number 1, the Bible says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Look, this is the verse that this whole message come from. I was reading this week, and when I came across this verse right here, and I seen those first four words, I love the Lord because, or those first five words, I love the Lord because. And I began to think of all of the reasons that I love the Lord, because He instructed me to, because I don't have to go to hell, because He hears my prayers. Isn't it wonderful this morning that God hears your individual prayers? That even though you can reach out to me and you can share your prayer request with me, you can get on a text and you can include a big old group of people that can pray for you. And I do believe that that's important, that we share those concerns and those prayers one with another. But I'm glad that when I'm right by myself and nobody knows the need that's in my heart and nobody knows what I'm going through and nobody knows what I need in my life, I can get down and I can call on God, and He already knows my need. He already knows how to work in that situation. But He tells me in His Word that He will incline His ears to me, that He will hear my voice, and that He will answer my prayers. What a God that we serve. Just as she was singing about a few minutes ago, those little bitty hands that was there in that manger are the hands that put everything in place, that holds me in all of my tomorrows, and that is willing to reach down and to hear my prayers and absolutely answer my prayers that I have towards Him. I could say that I love Him because He hears my prayers. I could say that I love Him because He provides for me. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 19. But my God, yeah, I got a bunch of these. I got to move quick. I can't stay anywhere long. Are y'all with me this morning, church? Amen. Why do you love the Lord? I love the Lord because He provides for me. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This morning, I can tell you this, that as we look at the uncertain future that is before us, as we look at all the different things that are in play, here's the only thing I'm going to tell you that is absolutely for certain. One day, the Bible tells me it's appointed unto me and wants to die, and after this, a judgment. One day, I'm going to die. That's going to happen unless God calls us up out of here first. Those two things are absolutely for certain going to happen. But while that's going on and while we're going through the uncertain times that we're going on, church, I want to tell you one reason that you can love the Lord and why you can lay your worry and your burdens aside. Because the Bible tells me that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. When you begin to think, well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if they do this? And what if this happens in my life? I want you to stop for just a minute and say, God, I'm sorry that I'm doubting You, because I have to do that from time to time. God, I'm sorry that I'm doubting You, because You promised me that all of my need is going to be supplied. That God, You've done promised me that You're going to provide for me. Why in the world am I thinking about the little stuff here on this earth when You've done way more by saving my soul? But God, I believe with all of my heart that You're also going to provide for me here on this earth. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. That's another reason I could give you that I love the Lord. I could give you the reason because He changed my life. Psalms chapter number 40, verse 1 through 3. My eyes are going away. I have to turn around and see this screen. Psalms chapter number 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Has anybody experienced that? Anybody in this congregation experienced that this morning? Have you experienced being brought up out of a miry pit and having your feet set on a solid rock? I want you to know this morning that no matter what age that you were saved at, when you realized that sin was in your life, that you were in a nasty, nasty old miry pit, you were in something that was going to suck you in, that was going to take over your life, and that would control your life. But I'm thankful for the day that each and every one of us realized that, and we reached out and we said, God, forgive me, a sinner. And we were brought up out of that miry pit. Our feet's been set on a solid rock. Our goings, our way has been established. And look what he says after that. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I hope this morning that even in the middle of all of the things that we're going through, I hope that new song is still burning in your heart. I hope that new song is still coming out of your mouth, that others may see it and shall trust in the Lord. I could tell you that I love the Lord this morning because he changed my life. I'm thankful that he changed my life. I could tell you it's because of Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. The Bible tells us, and we know, that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I could tell you that I love the Lord this morning, because you remember how the children of Israel, when they was telling Joshua, they began to lay off his list of reasons. I could tell you because he instructed me to, because I don't want to go to hell, because he hears my prayers, because he provides for me, because he changed my life, or because he works all things together for my good. Man, what comfort there is in that verse of scripture right there. We've all been through some things. We've been through some tough times. And how in the world that God can promise us, look, I'm going to work that for your good. Sometimes it's even hard for us to comprehend when we're going through something. But God's word tells us that he's going to work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I could tell you that I love God this morning because I know he's working in my life. I know that he's in control of my life. I know that if I will allow him to, that he will lead me in a place that he wants me to be, where I can give him glory with my life, and that I can also point someone else to Jesus Christ. But I want to show you, after all of these other examples, I want to show you the real reason that I love Jesus Christ. The real reason that I love God. The one statement that just sums all of this up here in just a minute. I want to show, I could give you all of these reasons, and all of these reasons are true, and I actually had to stop writing when I was doing this because there were so many more. And I said, Lord, they can't handle this. They sure can't handle 10 more. They'll be asleep on me, and they'll think I'm crazy up there. So I shortened the list. But I want to give you the reason that sums it all up. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. The real reason that I choose to love God, we love him because he first loved us. Man, oh man, what a scripture. When I look at that verse of scripture, and I think about all of these things that we just mentioned that God has done for us, when I think about all of these things that we've went through this morning, how that he instructed us to love us, how he allowed us to escape hell, how that he done all of these works things together for our good, when I think about all of those reasons that I could give, the basic reason comes down to he chose to love me before I ever thought about loving him. That he chose to love me. I want to tell you this morning, it is amazing how that God chose to love us way before we were ever created, how that God chose to provide a way of salvation for us, a way of redemption for us, before we ever even knew who God was, before we ever took a breath here on this earth, that God loved us before we could ever think about loving him, that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us before we could ever think about living for him. I'm thankful this morning that God loved me way before I ever thought about loving him. It's not about, well, I've been a good person and I choose to love the Lord and I choose not to do this, and I choose to live my life a certain way, and it's not all about that. It's about God chose me. He chose to love me way before the foundations of the world, that he had a plan for my redemption before I was ever even in this world. I'm so thankful this morning that God loves me, and that's the reason that I love him. We love him because he first loved us. This morning I want you to know something, that if it was on my choices that I've made in my life, if it was on the choices that I've made in my time as a Christian, If it was on my choices that I made as a preacher or a pastor or in any aspect of my Christian life, God wouldn't love me. God wouldn't choose me. But I'm so thankful that in spite of all of that, or in case of all of that, or however you want to say it, that God chose to love me, and that's why I love Him. I'm so unworthy of God's love. I'm telling you, I know we've talked about this before, but you could take the most holy person in here, whoever that is. If you raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. But we could take the most holy person in here, and we could say, hey, we want to put up all of your thoughts, all of your actions, all of your words, and we want to put them on the big screen next week and let everybody watch it. And now let's see your hand go up. Not me. That's not where I want to, but you know what? God knows all of that, and yet He chose to love me. Yet He chose to allow His Son to leave heaven, come as a baby in a manger, live on this earth for 33 and a half some odd years, and go to a cross for me? Absolutely not. I don't know why God loves me, but I'm going to tell you, that's why I love Him. That's why I love Him. Yeah, I'm so thankful for all of these other things that we've talked about this morning. But I want to tell you, now think about this. The God of all creation, whether you love Him or not is not going to change whether He's God or not. But yet He chose to love you. He chose right here in Ararat, North Carolina, or Pilot Mountain, or God forbid if you live over at Dobson or whatever. I'm being funny. Wherever you live at, wherever you work at, whatever your finances are, doesn't matter. God loves you. That's why I love Him. This morning, as I began to think about this message this week, and as I began to study for this message, Randolph, you're going to get us something for invitation. Thank you. As we look at our lives, is anybody in here worthy of God's love? Absolutely not. When you think about Christmas, and you think about this little baby in a manger, don't just look at it as a little baby in a manger. Look at it as that was God's love plan of redemption for you and I. Now, I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of you in here that I really, really thank the world of. I love y'all. I really do. But my son's sitting back there, and he's almost 18 years old. He's 17 years old. And even though I love y'all, and I can't even describe to you how much I love y'all, what kind of love God's put in my heart for this place and this church and you as the people, I wouldn't give my son for you. I'm just being honest. I mean, some of y'all looking at me like, preacher, I really thought you would for me, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be straightforward with you. And far as I know, all of y'all are good people. Y'all are really good people. But it wasn't only that, but God chose to give His Son for the most vile, for the most evil, for the most sick people that you can think of. God gave Jesus Christ for them also. And just as the scripture says, and such were some of you, but now ye are washed. I'm thankful that God washed my sin away, that because of that love that He had for me. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, I want to ask you a very important question. If you ain't heard anything else that I've said this morning, stop what you're doing right now and listen to this. Preacher, I heard that the choice is mine. And I have never made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Preacher, I've been exposed to church. I've been in church. But to say that I've ever asked Jesus into my life and to ask Him to forgive me my sins, I've never done that. I've never made that choice. Would you just slip up your hand? I'll pray for you. I won't come to you. I won't say your name. I won't never let anybody else know that you raised your hand. Just me, you, and God will know who's raised their hand this morning. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die with sin in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you just say, "Preacher, I'm so thankful to be saved. But I want to tell you that right now my life doesn't reflect that I'm surrendered unto God. My life doesn't reflect that I've chose God. My life is messed up spiritually. And yeah, as far as everybody else knows, everything's okay. But me and God knows it's not." Would you just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? I see some hands. You can put them right back down. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, you know my spiritual life. God, you know my spiritual condition, and you know sometimes that I'm not where I'm supposed to be with you, that I fail and I fall and I come short. But God, I do choose you. God, I want to surrender my whole life to you. God, I pray, dear Father, as we've come together this morning, that maybe there's some in that same condition, God, that you'll just strengthen us, that you'll help us, God, to live a life that shows that we have chosen you. God, thank you most of all that you loved us before we ever loved you. Your word says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Thank you for loving me with a love like that. In Jesus' name, amen.